Welcome to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life. My name is Tracy Crow. I'm an author, writing coach, and Marine Corps veteran. I'm looking forward to co-creating today's show with you. So if you're ready, are you ready? I'm ready. So if you're ready to live a more creative, more magical life, let's get started. My special guest today is Lisa Basin, co-owner of Mystical Reflections, which is located near the beach in Calabash, North Carolina. Mystical Reflections doubles as an art studio with classes for beginners to advanced stained glass enthusiasts and as a storefront for online or local shoppers. But I first learned of Lisa's artistry when I commissioned two pieces from her, and the results exceeded all my expectations. So I thought it would be fun to check in with Lisa to discover more about this art medium and to find out why she's so fired up for glass. Get it? Fired up? You will, after Lisa explains this fascinating process. And be sure to check out the photos I've posted about Lisa's work on our Accept Your Gifts Podbean website. Now, here's Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. Thank you so much for being with us today on Accept Your Gifts.
It's my pleasure. I'm happy to be here with you, Tracy.
Well, we're going to be talking about a subject today that I know practically nothing about, except, which is stained glass for those of you who are listening in, except that I have actually commissioned a couple of pieces from you that I proudly hang in my house. And so when I had an opportunity to sit down with you today, I thought, this is exciting. I finally get to really find out what you enjoy about this particular art medium. And you've only been doing this for what, about 10 or 11 years?
Yep, just about that. I do it reluctantly at first, because my grandmother was sick. She had cancer, and mom had to come and help take care of her, but she needed to finish some projects first before she could come back home. So I said, well, just show me how to do it, and I will help you finish up those projects. She did, and 30 minutes in, I was hooked in love and just so incredibly passionate about it. It's therapeutic. You get started on it and you just get lost in it.
Okay, so let's back up one second. You got hooked into it in a half hour?
Yes, ma'am.
But how? What was there something specific that hooked you into it?
Well, I've always loved art, but it's like putting puzzles together, and I've always enjoyed putting puzzles together. But just the cutting of the pieces and trying to make them fit together. A lot of people find that to be tedious. And honestly, I did too at first. It looked very tedious and it looked like something I really didn't want to get into. But it turned out I just got lost in it. And I would forget to drink, forget to eat, forget what time it was. It's just something that I just love to do.
Wow. And so that kind of pausing, maybe, of all the other, crazy stuff that happens in our lives so that you can slow the mind down to focus on one single thing. Is that what you mean by therapeutic?
Yes. Yes. You just get so lost in it. And there's all your thoughts. You can gather your thoughts. It's almost like going for a walk on the beach for what I would think some people. I don't particularly enjoy that when it's hot. But I even live at the beach, but and I like walking on the beach, but not when it's 80 degrees or more. But it's that kind of thing for me. I get in my shop and I start working on this stuff, and I just get lost in it.
Wow. Well, you know, I think when we think of stained glass, we typically, at least for me, in my very limited background until knowing you through all this, I would always think of just the stained glass windows we see in churches and Tiffany lamps. And I mean, that was it. Tell us, what is this craze now and this hunger for stained glass and this particular art medium? Can you tell us a little bit more about what stained glass really is beyond the Tiffany lamp?
Stained glass has exploded. And taking nothing away from Tiffany, because that is incredible work, those lamps and the churches. And there are several different mediums of stained glass. I mean, you can do the foil and solder method, or you can do the leaded method, which is the way most church windows are built, just because of their size. That works better than doing the foil and solder. But then there's fusible glass, where you can paint on it. You can break up glass pieces, what we call frit, and almost paint with the frit. You throw it down on the sheet of glass, and just you can have a picture underneath that glass or drawn onto the glass with a marker that'll burn off in the kiln, and put your picture on there and put it in the kiln, and it comes out. If you're really good at it, I haven't gotten that good at that part yet, but I'm working on it. You can put a photograph on glass now with the right printer paper. Then we can put that, and we have that printer. We have that capability of doing that. But there's just so much you can do with it.
So tell us what types of objects, especially in your store in particular, but what types of objects are you making these days with stained glass? Is it all artwork? Windows, what are you making?
We love to do a lot of different things. We're doing some sun catcher stuff. We're in a tourist area, so the tourists like to come in and get their souvenir, if you will. That's a little bit different than whatever other souvenirs you find in an actual souvenir store. But you know, there's all kinds of things. We can do bowls, we can do plates. We've had people ask us to do a whole entire set of dishes. So those kind of things can be done. The most of what we do are window panels of varying sizes that go anywhere from like the size that of your dog to something that fits a whole window.
Yeah.
So we've done a lot of different things and commission all the time.
Well, you know, there's so many different art mediums out there. So you know, you've gotten hooked into the glass, but you said that you also liked to draw before. You'd always been in art in some way. How are the two fitting together, the drawing and the art and the design and all that?
Yeah, I was a little budding artist at the age of two.
Oh.
black crayon and drew a picture of whatever, mostly probably lines, probably not really a picture. Mom called it a picture. All the way down the hallway in the house.
Oh, Lord.
She wasn't very happy with me. I got in trouble for that. And that's the one and only
Imagine
time
that.
I actually got in trouble. And that apparently I learned right then. But no, I was all taking art classes in middle school. All through high school, I was in the art class. Won a couple awards for art pieces I had done. But the stained glass design is quite different from just drawing a picture, because all the lines have to be drawn to a point where they can be cut in glass, or you can use a saw to cut them. But most people don't have a saw, so you want to make sure that your design lines can do not mostly straight lines, but lines that can be easily cut and broken in glass without breaking your whole piece of glass. It's kind of hard to explain without a visual.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you talk about cutting and saws and soldering and glass in general, it sounds a little intimidating to say the average person who might be a little fearful of those types of objects. How did you overcome some of that? And how do you help your students in your classes there at Mystical Reflections overcome that fear? Oh, and
that intimidation.
Yeah, you got killed in there. We got major heat going on over there.
That intimidation is quite real. Most of the people who've never done stained glass come in and want to take a class, and they're afraid of being cut. And you will get cut. You'll get cut. We have lots of Band-Aids. No worries. We'll even help you put them on. But you just have to do it. Just let go of that fear and just do it. It is intimidating. And there are a lot of steps. It's a lot to learn. But you just have to keep at it. My mom said that I was just a natural at it. I picked it up rather easily, I think, for the most part. But I've always been kind of mechanical, too. So if you have a mechanical mind and you can see how the pieces go together, because once you cut the pieces, then you have to grind and fit them to each other. Mm-hmm. If you can't see in your mind when you're looking at those pieces how they're supposed to fit together so that you know where to take a little bit off of one or the other, it's going to be kind of difficult for you to put that piece together. But we do show you all the little techniques and the little tips to get through that process, as well as all the other processes. I've had many of our older stained glassers come in, and I learn from them still today. You know, you never stop learning. Mm-hmm. There's always another little tip somebody will come in with, and we try to pass those along to all of our customers and students, just because they're fun little tips.
What would you say is has been the most surprising thing you've learned about yourself through this stained glass art medium?
That's quite a question. I've learned just how patient I can be.
Wow, that's a pretty darn good revelation there.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of patience, but when I'm in the glass mindset, the patience is there. It's always there. I just have that patience to continue to look at the piece and keep working on it. If I happen to lose that patience a little bit, you will look at something. I had one piece that I started on actually about 5 years ago. And I got frustrated with it, so I put it aside, because otherwise you just start breaking things and then you're even more frustrated. So I put it aside, moved twice, worked on it a little bit in between. Finally, I got it back out about 3 months ago, and I started working on it again. Quickly got frustrated with it again. It had a lot of small pieces in it. Small pieces are hard to deal with. But I changed my mind and did a mosaic out of it instead of doing a stained glass. So I just kind of spread the pieces out, glued them down, and put some grout in it. And it came out absolutely beautiful. It's hanging in the store. But sometimes you might have to just change the way you think about things.
I love that. That's a great example. Yeah, that perception shift, you know, sometimes you just have to shift the perception, you know?
You do.
How, when your students come in, what are some of the most significant challenges that you find with some new students who are just learning this craft?
They're scared.
Yet they still show up.
They're scared. They do show up. They really want to make something pretty. They want something that they made that can hang in their window. And that's what we offer them. Again, scared of getting cut, they'll get cut. Almost all of them do at some point before that class is over. They get cut on a piece of glass. They're afraid they won't cut it right. Well, if you don't cut it right, well, draw it on another piece of glass and cut it again. You just have to stay at it and keep going and do what you can to squash that fear.
Is there been any particular design that you did that you think back on and it was, say, the most challenging or the most rewarding or anything that comes to mind when I ask you, like, a favorite piece?
that dog I did for you.
Oh my gosh. Okay, everybody, I promise you, I will put the real picture of my dog beside the stained glass window
that Lisa did. I show that to other people and they're amazed at how that turned out. But that one, actually, in the beginning, when I got that picture, I was scared to death. I was. That dog has a lot of coloration to it.
Yeah.
But that also is in the challenge of finding the just perfect glass for every little piece of cash. It was very rewarding once it was over and done, and to see how beautiful and lifelike it actually came out. That was awesome for me to know that I could put that on a piece of paper and then build it in glass, and it looks so much like that picture.
Oh, identical. In fact, I don't know if I ever shared this with you, but right after I got that piece home, I set it up against the counter in our kitchen. And our black lab, Finway, happened to walk around the corner, saw the picture, and was so certain it was a real dog, he charged the kitchen cabinet, growling. Every hair on his back was standing straight up. He was so certain it was a dog. So that, so that is such a testimony about how lifelike that wall hanging is. I adore it. So don't worry, everybody. I'll be sure and post the picture side by side on the Podbean website of this podcast so that you can see for yourself how beautiful Lisa is. Oh my God.
It was good. It was a good one.
So tell us about a little bit about your store, Mystical Reflections. What do you do there? Tell us how it's run, what's available, when it's open.
It's in Calabash, North Carolina. It's tucked back in the back of the main road, right near the Elks Lodge and the VFW, kind of in between the two. It's not that hard to find if you Google us. We're all over Google, and you can always check our website and get directions from there. They're all where you can print them out. But we sell just about anything you might need for stained glass. And if we don't have it, we can get it for you and ship it to you. Our store is very, very small, so we can only hold so much stuff at one time. We are looking for larger spaces so that we can move and increase our offerings. We are about to get in some new products for the mosaic artists in our customer base. So we're excited about that. We do have a new website coming online tomorrow, which will be Tuesday. What day is that? May 14th. We'll have that coming up. But we offer classes of all kinds, all the way from beginner to an intermediate class. If you just need some help with some stuff, we rent table time, so you can come in, bring all your stuff, bring your project, pay for table time, and then one of our staff will help you with whatever it is you're having a problem with. So we have a lot of things that we offer to our customers that they don't necessarily have to pay for.
Oh, that sounds great. Lisa, is there any particular reason why this art is exploding these days?
I don't know the reason for that. I'm happy when we see some younger people do it. Love all of our senior customers. And most, and I don't know if that's because retired people have more time and basically more money, because it is not a cheap hobby. It's quite an expensive hobby. But I don't know why. And we try to get out there for young people to know what kind of art it is, and that it's so much fun to do. But there's just not that many young people doing it. And we're trying to encourage them to do it, because otherwise it's going to be a lost art altogether.
Ooh, that's hard to imagine. So yeah, it's really good that this art is exploding, even if it hasn't reached our younger generation just yet, or if they haven't had a chance to explore it just yet. Talk to me a little bit about Mosaic. describe what that process is like and what kind of product, end product comes from that.
It's we use a substrate, which is either a board or you might want to do a stepping stone. I've only done things on wood. If you do it on wood, you can't put it outside. And I'm not well versed in mosaics. I've only done two pieces, and one of those was with an instructor. But it's basically, in really layman's terms and short to the point, you glue your pieces, whether it's glass or smalti, or which is Italian glass, it's thicker than stained glass, but you use stained glass, you can use rocks, you can use pretty much anything. I've seen people use bottle caps. It's very interesting, or jewelry. I've seen some really cool pieces done with all kinds of mediums, shells they picked up off the beach, dried flowers, all kinds of things you can use. But you basically glue it down and then put grout in between the lines. You'll leave a little separating line between each piece, and then grout the piece and then seal it so that it's protected from water. Even if you can't put it outside, if you do like a table, you'll want it to be protected from the water off of a glass or something like that. But it's a lot of fun. It's a little more tedious than I want to be, because there's typically a lot of small pieces of whatever you're using to get your colorations right.
What's the difference between stained glass and fusible glass?
Fusible glass can be melted in the kiln. So there are three that I know of, COE 90, COE 96, and COE 104. You can fuse them to each other as long as they're the same COE. So you can take a sheet of glass, put other glass on it, and whatever design you want. One of our classes is a scatter plate. So you just kind of scatter around some other glass on top of that and make an abstract kind of design. And then we put it in a mold and make a bowl out of it for you. So you can make bowls, you can make spoon rests, all kinds of things out of that. You can melt bottles down in the kiln and put them in a mold and make a serving tray out of it. There's so much you can do with the fusible stuff. And the non-fusible glass, it can be melted and it can be fused only to a sheet of glass that's the same number as, like, you'll have different colors. The color 152 red can only be melted with a 152 red. You couldn't put the 153 blue. I don't know what color blue is, but you couldn't put the blue and the red together in the non-fusible. But in a fusible glass, you can put anything that's the same COE number on it. So you could put reds with oranges and blues or whatever you want to do.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, because I've heard of those two terms, but I never really knew what the difference was. And, you know, is the fusible glass a little bit more affordable for those who are beginning? Is it just where the industry is going into that fusible glass pathway?
No, fusible glass will run $4 to $5 a square foot more than the non-fusible glass. And the non-fusible glass, at least from Spectrum, and most people who do stained glass will know that Spectrum was a company that made stained glass years ago. They had their company for 40 years, sold it to another company, and that company can't get the non-fusible recipe to work, so they're only making fusible glass now. There are other stained glass companies making glass, the Yokoganis, the Wismock, the Armstrong, they're all still making non-fusible glass. Some of their glass can be much harder to work with, harder to cut than the Spectrum glass, and that's why everybody wanted the Spectrum glass.
Gotcha.
So they're just going to have to pay more for it. We're all going to have to pay more for it if we want to continue to use that type of glass.
So when I talk about in this podcast about finding ways to live our most creative life. What does that look like for Lisa Basin?
You got some good questions today.
Now, wait a minute. You're my greatest cheerleader for these podcasts. You probably
recall. I am.
But now you're sitting in the hot seat.
That's right. I'm in the hot seat. What does that look like for me? I don't know. I've always enjoyed just being creative. I will sit and draw and just doodle on a piece of paper. It's my therapy. Mm-hmm. It's my therapy. And I get such pleasure out of it when I've done a piece of art, which is stained glass for me, for someone else, and they've loved it enough to put it in their home and hang it up and show it to everyone else. I want it to be perfect. I am somewhat of a perfectionist, so I want it to look good, and that makes me feel good.
Mm. Well, I'm certainly showing off my two pieces to everyone who walks in my house. I'm so thrilled by both of them. Lisa, thank you so much for being with us today on Accept Your Gifts.
It's been a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed today's co-creative listening experience. Please remember to leave a comment about the single greatest takeaway for you today. You know, that one thing you will remember from this day forward. Was it something funny or provocative? Was it just what you needed to hear? Please share so we can all benefit. And remember to return Tuesdays and Thursdays to Accept Your Gifts, the 22-minute podcast for inspiring your most creative life.